Sure about it. I don't have to preach every week, so I get a little bit longer time to think about what the Lord wants me to share. So I found this pretty interesting. What I wanted to share this morning, I've been thinking about, thinking about it since the last time I shared with you. But as Pastor was sharing last week about when they went down to the national conference and the prophecy that was spoken over them, if you weren't here last week, we have that on tape or on the, you can find it on our website. But I just found it real interesting how Pastor Scott was sharing about the prophecy that he was spoken over him and Dawn at the national conference, and the emphasis of evangelism that came out of that prophecy. Because this morning, what I want to share with you is the Valley of Dry Bones, which both has to do with prophecy and bringing dead people to life. And I just thought, if that's not a confirmation about what I want to share this morning, I don't know. It kind of just like hit me last week, and as I was preparing more this week, I'm like, those two things just tie together so well. So I hope you receive as much as I've been studying this week about this, that you receive that this morning. So I heard about a little boy who came home from Sunday school one day, and his mom asked him, "Son, what did the teacher teach you in Sunday school this morning?" The little boy said, "We were taught the story of how Moses led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and into the promised land." The mother told him that she would like to hear the story herself. The little boy said, "All right." Is that ringing pretty? So the little boy said, "All right, I will since you want me to, Mom. It's really such a simple story." So that night, Moses got on the radio and he told all the Israelites that they were going to come out of Egypt. They were going to get out that night when the signal was given. So they sent up some flares up into the sky as a signal, and all the Israelites began their journey out of Egypt. Then they got into their armor cars and headed out across the desert there. They had airplanes to give them cover, to give them protection. And when they came to the Red Sea, they seemed no way to get across, and Pharaoh was coming up behind him with his tanks. So Moses had to come up with an idea. Moses built a pontoon bridge. And when he finished, they started across the bridge. And when they got to the other side, Pharaoh and his tanks were following them and crossing the pontoon bridge. So Moses turned to his people and commanded them to blow up the bridge. The people obeyed, and all the Egyptians drowned in the sea. When the bridge covered the last soldier, Moses and his people were finally safe. So the mom looked at her son with a puzzled look and said, "Son, did your teacher really tell you the story that way?" The little boy said, "Well, not exactly, Mom. If I told you the story the way my teacher told me, you would never believe it." Now, I believe that the miracles in the Bible happen just like they did, and they say in the Bible. So this morning, we're not going to deal with the Red Sea, or the dividing of the Red Sea, but we're going to talk about the Valley of Dry Bones. We're going to see how these bones come together and how they lived. But before we look at the passage this morning, I want to give you some context in order to have a better understanding. The book of Ezekiel was written by the prophet bearing the same name, and his name means God will strengthen. A Hebrew from the tribe of Levi, he was among the elite of Judah who was captured by Nebuchadnezzar and carried away to Babylon. Ezekiel prophesied between the years of 600 and 570 BC. And he was also a contemporary of the prophet Daniel. Some scholars believe that his reference in the very first verse of the book to the 30th year was probably an indication of his age. If so, that means Ezekiel would have been only about 25 years old at the time he was forced to leave his homeland. 30 was also the traditional age when a priest could begin to minister. It was at the age of 30 that Jesus began his ministry. Joseph began to rule over Egypt, and David also began his reign. Now God had called his people, the Jews, out of captivity and out of Egypt. For over 100 years, they had been in Egyptian captivity. God brought them into the promised land and gave them a land and a king and made them a nation. But, once again, they turned against God, and God allowed them to go into captivity once again. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army invaded Israel. They had reduced Solomon's temple to ashes and had taken many of the Jewish people back to Babylon as captives. Now, unfortunately, Ezekiel knew too much about battlefields and bones. He was sent to preach to the people of Israel when the people were tempted to rebel against Babylon, the dominant power of that day. Ezekiel warned the people not to rely on their own strength and their wisdom, but to look to God instead. But the people did not listen. They rebelled. And so an army of Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. They carried the leaders of the land, including Ezekiel, off into exile into a distant land. So the people were grieving. They have lost their loved ones and they've lost their homes. They were afraid God had abandoned them, so they have lost all hope. They do not think God will forgive them, and they may not even be willing to forgive themselves. So that's the condition of Israel as we look at Ezekiel chapter 37. The nation of Israel is dead, but God has a vision for the nation. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I'm just going to read the whole passage to start out with this morning. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Amen. So in verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel was brought to an unmarked grave. But it's really not a grave. It's an open area with skeletal remains that have been picked clean by wild animals and bleached by the hot sun. Now in the ancient world, not receiving a proper burial was a sign that you were cursed. Leaving a body exposed was something that you did to enemies and to the worst of criminals. The Israelites were warned in Deuteronomy 28 that if they were disobedient, they would be routed by their enemies and that their bodies would be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. There's a similar warning in Jeremiah chapter 34. In verse 11 of our passage, the Lord tells Ezekiel, "These bones that you see, they're the whole house of Israel. The people are in exile because of their disobedience. They have been removed from the promised land." And in verse 11, they themselves declare to be cut off. They say, "We are cut off. There is no hope for us." Now, cut off in Scripture is covenantal language. The people recognize that they are guilty of violating the term of God's covenant with them and that they are under His righteous condemnation. At that point, they are cut off from God. Now, the vision of Valley of Dry Bones is a spiritual condition of the exiles. They are separated from fellowship with their covenant Lord, and they are spiritually dead. This vivid picture of dry bones cut off from God is not just a picture of ancient Israel, but an image of what it's like to be cut off from God because of sin in our own lives. See, what plays out in the history of Israel is in the pages of Scripture is mirroring what is happening in humanity today. It mirrors the fallenness of the whole human race. See, the exile of the Israelites isn't the first exile that occurs in Scripture. The first exile that occurs in Scripture happens in Genesis chapter 3. At the end of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are exiled from the garden. They are separated from God and under the sentence of death. And all of humanity from that point is born into a spiritually dead condition in exile from fellowship with God. Humanity apart from God are like dead bones, scattered, no flesh. That's the condition of those who have not yet received or accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. God made Ezekiel walk around the vast boneyard just so he could experience the scope of this tragedy. The first thing that we noticed that struck Ezekiel was the ominous mood of the place. There were no signs of life, no children playing, no bustling streets, only absolute dead silence. It had to be a miserable place to be. No one wants to stay in a place of misery and death. And as Christians, we need to remember how miserable it is to be lost, totally cut off from fellowship with God. The bones had no life. They had no identity or ability. Dead bones cannot love or even receive love. They are simply wasting away, exposed to the harsh elements of the world. And that's the state of the lost people in this world. Can you imagine it? Now really think about it for a minute, pretending it's happening to you. You're suddenly in a dry desert valley, and as you look about, there are thousands and thousands of bones bleached white by the sun. The bones of long dead people all jumbled up, randomly scattered about. It has to be a very disturbing scene. God made Ezekiel walk all around and through these bones. And it must have been very incredibly difficult for Ezekiel to even walk around these bones. Ezekiel was a priest and he knew the bones were unclean. Some questions he might have thought of. What happened here? Was there a battle? A massacre? Did a plague sweep through an encampment? Perhaps it was a drought or a famine. How did these people die? And why haven't they been buried? This was not good. Here is a hopeless scene. God is graphically demonstrating to Ezekiel how hopeless the Babylonian exiles have become. This is a vision of the house of Israel, dead, dry bones with no life in them. And after walking around these bones, Ezekiel was unclean. But that didn't stop God from quizzing him. Verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? What an interesting question. Ezekiel obviously knew that this was really impossible, but with God. Now let's give Ezekiel some credit. He was a Hebrew priest during the years of exile and a prophet on top of that. He was completely aware of God's power. So instead of saying no, he kind of weaseled his way out of that question and said, I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Ezekiel knew God's power, and he knew that if these bones could live, it would only be through God's action in bringing them back to life. Only God can bring the dead back to life. God spoke again in verse 4. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All right, let's think about this for a minute. Here's Ezekiel, a priest and a Hebrew prophet in exile, and the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe, orders him to do his job, to start preaching. Can you just sense the questions forming in Ezekiel's mind? What? Prophesy to these dead bones? First of all, I'm unclean, and what can I possibly say to them? Am I to prophesy with no one to hear but a pile of dead bones? Can anything I say or do make any difference at all? Son of man, Can these bones live? That's a great question, isn't it? So let's imagine for a moment, Pastor Scott is giving you a lesson on preaching. You drive out to one of the local cemeteries. You park the car and walk to the middle of the cemetery. Okay, Pastor Scott says, start preaching. What? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine a more unresponsive congregation? Now, I normally sit up in the booth, and I've seen people texting during sermons. I've seen them reading their bulletins or even doodling on them. And yes, sometimes, once in a while, I even see somebody fall asleep. But not dead. Not just dead, decayed, decomposed, and dried out old bones. This was the last stop before dust. These dry bones can't even hear the preacher preaching. They weren't mostly dead. They were dead. But God had further instructions for Ezekiel. In verses 5 and 6, God tells Ezekiel exactly what to preach. Verse 5, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. God has ordered Ezekiel to prophesy to these dry bones. Ezekiel was to tell them that they were going to be put back together and have life breathed into them. So Ezekiel did what he was told. He was faithfully and obedient to his job. He knew firsthand the power of the word of the Lord. He preached the word of the Lord to a pile of dead, dry bones. He preached with power and authority, knowing he was going to preach the very word of God. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel described the scene in verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones coming together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel obeyed God, and he preached. He prophesied to the dry bones. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he began to notice movement in the valley. The bones were moving. They were slowly knitting together. He preached on. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. And something began to grow on the bones. Flesh and sinew and skin. The valley of dry bones was no longer full of dry bones, but of dead bodies. While Ezekiel was prophesying, God was working a miracle. God transformed those bones. He had changed them completely. Ezekiel was now standing in the desert valley, now completely surrounded, not by bones or even skeletons. He was surrounded by dead bodies. The bones have taken on tendons and flesh and skin, but they were not alive. But God is not done. Ezekiel was standing among thousands of bodies, bodies with bones, tendons, and flesh, but there was no breath in them. But God had more work for Ezekiel to accomplish in verses 9 and 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come, breath from the four winds, breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So let's let that sink in for a minute. When Ezekiel's vision started, he was taken to a desert valley full of dry human bones. And following God's instructions, he preached to an audience that had no capacity to hear, understand, believe, or even act upon his message. God commanded Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Now Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet, and the Lord God, so he did as he was told. Breath entered those lifeless bodies, and they came to life and stood up, a vast army. Can you see this happening? We live in 2019. Can you imagine the computer animation on the movie when it comes out? Are you blown away by the power of the living God in this vision? Son of man, can these bones live? The answer is yes. Now, throughout the Bible, breath, wind, and spirit are all the same translation of the same word. The Hebrew word is ruha and pneuma in Greek. Now, I really like that Hebrew word. I want everybody to say that with me. You know, George isn't here this morning. He was a Marine. It's that ruha. It's that breath of God. So everybody, on the count of three. One, two, three. Ruha. Okay, a little bit more. One, two, three. Ruha. Breath of God. Amen. We can see that translation in several passages in the Bible. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So breath and life. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Scripture comes from the breath of God. Psalms 33:6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth." So by His breath, He created the heavens. John 3:7-8, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now in this last passage, the same word pneuma, since it's in the New Testament from the Greek, the word wind in verse 7 and the word spirit in verse 8 are actually the same root Greek word. In Ezekiel's vision, the four winds provide the breath, the Spirit of God, to bring life into these dead, dry bones. The breath of God, the Spirit of God, has the power to create life and bring new life to the hopelessly dead. In the valley of dry bones, God has just worked a miracle. But you know what the best part of the whole thing is? It isn't that God brings the dead back to life. It's how God brings them to life that's so amazing to me. God didn't snap His fingers and just say abracadabra. He didn't zap the bones with some ray or anything. God didn't say, "Let there be life." No, He commanded Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones and to the breath. He allowed Ezekiel to participate in this powerful life-giving event. Not just participate, God empowered Ezekiel to make it happen. Now, have you ever considered that the words spoken by the prophet of God have a causative effect? God attached tendons and flesh only after Ezekiel prophesied to the bones. And God only put breath into them only after Ezekiel prophesied to the breath. In Ezekiel's case, speaking the word of God clearly invoked the power of God. Sometimes words have performative power. To speak a word amounts to the thing itself being created. For example, if Pastor Scott marries someone and says, "I pronounce you man and wife," at a wedding, it's at that point the marriage is actually created. Or how about when a policeman says, "You are under arrest"? By saying the words, the arrest itself is then created. Performative words have even more power when spoken by God. "Let there be light." In Isaiah 55:11, it says, "So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So God's word will accomplish what He goes out to, what He wants and what He desires. Now God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy. Ezekiel obeyed God, and his words had performative power. And as he was speaking, his words were taking effect. Clearly, God worked through the words of the prophet Ezekiel to bring about his will. Now, here is an interesting question. What happens when we speak the word of the Lord? I believe we all share and can have the gift of prophecy. And our words can also have performative power. How would it feel to speak the words of God and watch them happen before your very eyes? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What would it be like if we could speak the words of God to dead, lifeless people and watch them come to life? What if, friend, let me share what I know about Jesus, had the same effect as dry bones, hear the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord has power to bring life to the dead. In the example in Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, to Lazarus in the tomb, to Jairus' daughter, to the son of the widow of Nain, and to Tabitha. How much easier is it for the word of the Lord to bring life to a living human being with a dead soul? John 5:25 says this, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, without overcomplicating this passage this morning, this passage refers to two different times. The time coming refers to the day of judgment when we will all be judged. But that's not really what I want to focus on out of this passage. The has now come refers to the here and now. People today need to hear the voice of God. What do you see when you look at the world around you? Although the people around us may be living their lives, working their jobs, enjoying their hobbies, raising their families, while some may be intellectual, reasonable, sometimes exercising, but if they don't know Jesus Christ, they are spiritually dead. While they may be full of life physically, they can be dead spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And Colossians 2:13 tells us this, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins." As Ezekiel looked out over the valley of dry bones, God spoke to the prophet and told him what to do. Ezekiel was shown that he had a personal responsibility to the valley of dead, dry bones. And I want you to see this because of the same responsibility that rested on Ezekiel's shoulders rests on us today. Ezekiel was commanded to preach to the valley filled with skeletons. We need to see the true condition of lost people and respond in the same manner that Ezekiel did. What does a lost world need? They need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the truth that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. They need to hear that he rose again from the dead to save all who would come to him. They need to hear that there is hope, love, life, and salvation through Jesus Christ. They need to hear about him, and it's our responsibility to tell them. And that brings us right back to the Ezekiel passage this morning. Looking at verse 13, "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle in you in your own land, that you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Spirit comes in, and people can live again. Through our preaching, people may be convinced of truth, but they will remain mere corpses until the Spirit of God breathes life into them. This is still God's method in bringing his purpose of the gospel to fulfillment. We must be satisfied with nothing less than the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The world of lifeless and hopeless men and women will never be changed unless the Holy Spirit breathes life into them. And it's our responsibility to tell them, and it's our responsibility to pray with urgency that they might be saved. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. They only need a witness to tell them, a warrior to pray for them, and a wonderful God to draw them closer to Jesus. They can live, and God can use us to reach them for Jesus. Christianity is all about resurrection. first with Jesus, and then with all those who believe in him. When we believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit blows into our lives and gives us spiritual breath. Like the valley of dry bones, once hopeless and dead, we find that through the powerful word of God, we too can live again. God's word is powerful enough to bring life out of death. But notice that God didn't speak directly to the bones. Instead, he commanded Ezekiel to do it. Ezekiel then became the mechanism that God used to bring life from death. The prophet, in turn, had the amazing privilege of seeing it happen right before his own eyes. We can have a similar experience when we freely share the good news of the gospel. Like the prophet speaking over a valley of dry bones, we have been commanded to speak the words of life to those who are dead in their sin. We know that looking out on the landscape before us, that on our own we can do nothing to change the scene of desolation and death. But we are not speaking on our own. Rather, we are speaking the very words of God. And in turn, we have the amazing privilege of seeing God powerfully resurrect those who believe the message of the gospel. So this morning, where are you at in this passage from Ezekiel? Are you like the dry bones? Maybe you're thoroughly parched. Maybe you're disconnected from the crowd of God's people. And you don't really see any way possible to reconnect to the body. Maybe you have a few battle scars on the bones. Or maybe you're like the inert bodies. Some of the elements are there. Maybe you're in the process of being restored, but you're still stationary. You're only present in God's family, but there's no breath in you. You're not fully functioning as a vital member of the body of Christ. And you have little protection and are easily preyed upon. Or perhaps you're already like the live bodies. You're standing ready in the ranks of God's people, steadily drawing in the breath of God. You are on high alert, ready to receive your marching orders. You're active and equipped and ready to move forward and take ground. Now this morning, I'm not sure where you're at, but you know and God knows. Judy, would you come up? What I shared this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, it's our responsibility to share him. Be a witness of what he's done in your life. And maybe this morning you don't have that relationship with him. You're kind of like the dry bones in the valley, waiting to come back together. So this morning I want to invite you, if you haven't made that step, if you haven't invited Christ into your heart here this morning, to take that step this morning. So I'm just going to pray a prayer, and if that's you this morning, just where you're at this morning, we're just have every head bowed. Actually, let's stand up this morning, if you would with me. And if that's you this morning, if you've never received Christ into your heart, if you're in a valley of dry bones and need to come to life, if you need that breath of God to come into you this morning, or perhaps you've known Christ for a while, but you're out of breath. That breath isn't in you. You just need to breathe them in here this morning. Breathe that Spirit in this morning. I'm going to pray for that as well. So if that's you this morning, I just ask that you pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I have not followed in your ways. I come to you this morning and accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I turn to you and turn back against the sin that I've committed against you. I accept you into my heart here this morning. And as I live out the rest of my life, I will follow you and your commands. And if that's you this morning, I just encourage you to come talk to me after the service this morning, so you're not stuck in that valley by yourself. You're now part of the body of Christ. You're part of that vast army. But also this morning, if perhaps you're just in a dry desert place right now, you need some breath in you, you need the Spirit to fill you here this morning, Lord, I just pray for those who need that breath of God here this morning, Lord. Lord, just as you prophesied, or you had Ezekiel prophesy to the breath, this morning, Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray that you come in this morning to each and every person who needs you here this morning. Come in for the four corners here this morning, breath of God. Breathe on those who want to breathe you in here this morning. Breathe on those who need a touch from you here this morning. Breath of God, fill lungs here this morning, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for touching lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit breathing on us here this morning. As we close this morning, I just encourage you, we're going to sing one more song. I thought this was appropriate. The air I breathe. So I just encourage you to come up front if you need prayer this morning for any